Chair, Distinguished Representatives.
Señor presidente, distinguido representante, uno de los aspectos fundamentales de la pandemia es que hubo una transmisión directa de animales a hombres. Otros dicen que viene de la investigación científica, que se escapó de los laboratorios o se infectaron los científicos al manipularlo. Nunca sabremos la verdad a ciencia cierta. Dos años después de la pandemia, no tenemos una investigación creíble ni racional al respecto. Y yo no creo que de aquí a poco tampoco lo obtendremos. Lo que sí sabemos es que es posible producir armas biológicas. Y sabemos que hay virus muy peligrosos que se pueden escapar de muchos laboratorios del mundo. Y esto ha sido así. Lo hemos sabido así desde hace muchos años. Los científicos recrearon el virus de la influenza en 1948. Y esto causó muchas pandemias en el siglo XX. En 2011, los científicos dijeron que el virus aviar podía llegar hasta los humanos a partir de los mamíferos. Y hay otros que se transmiten de los pájaros a los humanos. Y si comparamos, la COVID-19 apenas llega a ser un 5%, pero se ha podido crear el sarampión y muchos otros, los virus que los provocan, y esto aumenta el riesgo. Y cuando se les pregunta, ¿realmente aumenta o no el riesgo? Dicen, no lo sabemos. ¿Podemos dejar nosotros esas decisiones en manos de científicos? Hay más de 60 laboratorios que trabajan con los virus más peligrosos que conocemos. Disculpamos, no se puede seguir al orador.
About half of them are in Europe. Most of them are in big cities. The biggest one is in Wuhan, the city where COVID-19 started. We know there have been accidents in neuromycetes in many labs, including in BSL-4 labs. According to the Global Health Security Index, a comprehensive global survey of countries' preparedness to prevent and respond to pandemics, only one quarter of countries with BSL-4 labs have a good score on the best practice indicators for biosafety and biosecurity. That means that three quarters of countries with BSL-4 labs receive low scores for biosafety and biosecurity. None of these labs have adopted the new international standard for biorisk management in labs, and only 40% of countries with BSL-4 labs are members of the International Experts Group of Biosafety and Biosecurity Regulators. Only a handful of countries with BSL-4 labs have oversight or regulatory policies in place to oversee dual-use research. This means that the vast majority of countries with BSL-4 labs do not have specific oversight of high-risk gain-of-function research that's been a central feature in the debate on COVID-19's origin. While all countries with BSL-4 labs report their labs under the confidence-building measures of the Biological Weapons Convention, only 9 of these countries make their reports publicly available. Only 55% of the BSL-4 labs in operation provide links to their publications on their institutional websites. Mr. Chair, we emphatically support the joint NGO statement's call for consistent implementation of international standards on appropriate biorisk management practices, especially in laboratories working with high-risk zoonotic pathogens with pandemic potential. We also strongly encourage state parties to give greater prominence to biorisk management in their national implementation of the BWC and to share their expertise and experience with building risk-based laboratory infrastructure that is fit for purpose, is safe and secure, and can be maintained over the long term. Finally, at the international level, there's no authoritative international institution tracking the number of biological laboratories or ensuring research oversight. BWC state parties must consider and consult with other relevant bodies so that the best international structures and mechanisms can be introduced to systematically register and monitor high containment labs and high risk biological research to ensure that all such research is being conducted safely, securely, and responsibly.